Welcome to the Steroids Podcast with your host, Dan the Bodybuilder from Thailand. Boom! Boom! Let's get started here. The Steroids Podcast is brought to you by Ultimate Guide to Roids, 109-page ebook by Dan the Bodybuilder from Thailand. Now, for the first time in bodybuilding history, you have someone with no corporate interests and no obligation to please anyone, not walking on eggshells to not offend. Ultimate Guide to Roids gives you the information, the whole truth, not a full truth and a half truth, full truth. Ultimate Guide to Roids gives you the keys to the Lamborghini, gives you the information, and lets you decide what to do with it. It's a crime this information has been suppressed this long. Now let's get on with the podcast.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Steroids Podcast with your host, Dan the Bodybuilder from Thailand. Okay, let's get into the first question here today. Peter asks, one question, B vitamin, how should I take that, tabs or inject? Okay, so vitamins are important, and vitamins have pretty powerful effects on the body. You know, when I was new to bodybuilding, new to enhanced bodybuilding, I kind of thought that, like, well, if you want to get bigger muscles or you want to lose more fat, then you should, like, take more steroids, and that'll do it. But there are, you know, once you're on a threshold amount of steroids or performance-enhancing drugs, rather than just, you know, kicking a dead horse and really, you know, being like, well, I'm just going to, like, abuse this shit. A better way to do it that actually can work better in some situations is to, you know, smartly utilize vitamins and natural supplements, okay? Because once you're on that threshold amount of gear for for bulking, for cutting, whatever, the amount that you need to be on, at that point, rather than just, you know, just really pushing up those doses, if you could do things that, you know, affect different pathways of lipolysis and different pathways of muscle growth, there's a lot of different pathways, a lot of different systems, hormonal systems, signaling systems that can be used. So, you know, we have things like apple cider vinegar, berberine, cinnamon, turmeric. We have, you know, B vitamin supplements, injections, vitamin D tablets, injections, et cetera. And these things all have different things that they do in the body, you know, things that can influence metabolism. So it's a good idea, you know, at least if you're thinking about, like, okay, well, you know, I want to go this route where I'm, like, adding more stuff to what I'm doing. It's a good idea, rather than just looking at the PEDs and just saying, like, okay, well, just slam more, to understand the natural supplements that can hit other pathways. Because, like, your anabolic steroid pathway, see, it's already hit pretty hard, you know, with the threshold amount of gear. So if you can hit other metabolic pathways, you can activate them. And those metabolic pathways, you know, can be a lot of times pathways that aren't even, you know, they're not harmful for your health. They're good for your health to activate them, and they'll help you with your goals. So that's what I think about vitamins. I should talk about more about vitamins on the podcast. And if people have specific vitamin questions, this is one of the first questions I've ever got. I will talk more about vitamins, you know. But so the B vitamin, the one, you know, what works best is the B vitamin complex. You know, the B1, B6, B12 complex is a pretty good one. There are other types of B vitamins as well that are important to have and that influence metabolism. But just for, like, the effects of what the B vitamins do, one of the things that they do is, you know, your red blood cells can't function correctly without them. And then they'll be the wrong size, your red blood cells, if you're not taking the B vitamins. So, you know, just be, if you're a bodybuilder and you're like, okay, well, what B vitamins should I take? Well, just take one serving of the B vitamin complex tablets per day, or capsules per day. if you have the injection and you can take take again one serving of the injection per week, which will normally be like 10,000 milligrams or IUs, I forgot what it is, but of vitamin B12 with vitamin B6 and B1 at lower dosages. But my favorite vitamin is definitely vitamin D. And the reason for that is because of how powerful it is. You know, vitamin D is a steroid hormone. It's derived from cholesterol, the same as testosterone, estrogen, sex hormones. And it has very potent effects in your body that go from very potent anti-depression effects, very potent insulin sensitivity effects. And if you've never taken like 100,000 IUs of vitamin D in a single dose from tablets, then you won't have noticed this insulin sensitivity effect, because vitamin D is a very powerful insulin sensitizer. But for you to notice it acutely and to be like, whoa, something's different, it's really hard to get that effect on normal doses that, you know, come from tablets. But the injections, you know, are usually between 100,000 to 300,000 IUs per milliliter. And so when you get those, you really feel it. And I mean, taking vitamin D injections can actually cause hypoglycemia. I've had it definitely from vitamin D. So that vitamin D, you know, has that very, you know, whenever you're going to become very sensitive to insulin, your body's not going to have to produce as much insulin anymore in order to get the blood sugar right. So you're going to have less storage hormone on board. So if you're a person who is genetically fat or genetically has a hard time being lean, increasing your insulin sensitivity is how you're going to change your body type, what your body tries to revert to, what your body tries to go back to as soon as you stop fucking with it. You know, it starts trying to go back to that normal state. And you're like, well, if you're one of these guys who's like more on the, you know, it's easy for him to gain weight, very hard for him to lose weight. And, you know, you're like, this is annoying me, you know, for my whole life. I wish it didn't have to be like this, you know. Well, working on your insulin sensitivity to decrease the amount of insulin that you have in your body, storage hormone, is going to be how you're going to change from being a, you know, born fat to being born normal. Very, very, very important. So vitamin D again, and I think it has a huge effect in immune system. And again, the injections are so superior to the tablets with the vitamin D. It's a different world. You know, I've taken really high dose vitamin D tablets to try and like get the same effect, like, you know, taking like 300,000 IUs of vitamin D like over like 3 or 4 days. It does not produce the same effect as a 200,000 or 300,000 IUs vitamin D injection. The delivery is just totally different. And the effects of the vitamin, if vitamin D injection, other than like testosterone and I mean, I guess growth hormone or something, but I'm just trying to tell you right now that vitamin D injection is one of my favorite things to use, period. Like near testosterone in how much I like it, how much it adds to my quality of life, how much it's doing things for me that are helpful for me. So yeah, I just can't say enough how big I am on vitamin D injections or high dose vitamin D. And the tablets, they can work high dose, but it's really the injections that really produce these effects where you're like, holy shit. You know, I love this stuff, and I, you know, it's one of the main things I'm looking for. And it's a fucking vitamin. All right. So the next question, DG asks, let's talk pro cycles, 4 to 6 grams of test per week, plus 2 to 4 grams anabolics and high SLIN. And then he talks about recreational stuff. We're not going to talk about that, although it's used. So understand, guys, that when people, so the whole thing with bodybuilding is they're going to tell you this lie that like you can be like this big monster on low dose drugs. And a lot of you guys probably, maybe you haven't listened to me for a long time and like trialed and erred yet. So like maybe you still believe that. But after listening to more of my podcast and experimenting and doing what I talk about on my podcast, then you'll know that what I'm saying is true. You know, the last thing he says is people need to realize that 2 grams per week is light steroid use for men. Well, it's just funny. I think this is kind of like a joke question, but he's a little bit serious too. But anyways, what I was going to say was that, yeah, you know, since this kind of like freak show bodybuilding, I mean, you look at, don't believe this thing where they go like, oh, you know, it's 600 milligrams of test and, you know, 2 anadrols a day with 600 deca and 4 IUs of growth hormone. And then like being like, yeah, that's a pro bodybuilder. Like they've progressively been saying more and more and more as the decades go on. Like before it was nothing natural. Then it was TRT. Then it was 500 milligrams test. Now it's test deca anadrol medium growth hormone. I mean, you know, you have this, I bet that like a decent portion of the listeners to this episode, probably like 10%, probably believe that stupid bullshit that came out of Chris Bumstead and his coach's mouth about how he's on 500 tests because he just can't even handle it anymore because of his health issues and stuff. Like if you know anything about steroids and you know anything about bodybuilding, you know how just blatantly untrue that is. And the only people, and the people that are saying this, you know, the people that are saying like, oh, Mr. Olympia only takes 500 milligrams of testosterone because he can't handle anything more. Okay, so when this guy DG asks, let's talk pro cycles, 4 to 6 grams test a week, plus 2 to 4 grams anabolics. And he says high SLIN, and then he says some other recreational stuff, which is going to be to help to reduce like the negative mental, mostly anxiety effects of steroids, because some people who are really abusing steroids hard do feel a need to be on like anti-anxiety medications. Hardcore bodybuilding is, man, shit's dangerous, dude. Shit is so, so dangerous. So then, you know, you have the other side of the spectrum, which is the guys that do want to, you know, use the cycles like 500 test with 50 milligrams of Winstrol or whatever. And, you know, there's nothing that's actually good. And, you know, I've kind of been through the whole bodybuilding thing myself, where like, you know, I started being one of you guys who was like, yeah, 500 tests solo is all I'm using. And then it was 500 tests solo plus tren. And then it was 500 tests plus tren plus orals. You know, that was how my first cycle went. So I've kind of like been through that. And then, you know, over the years, building up higher and higher, higher dosages until, you know, I was getting, you know, near my biggest. And, you know, when you're near your biggest, you're generally not on your lower dosages. You know, it's like whenever you were near your biggest, you were on some of the biggest dosages that you were taking. That's just the way it is. And so there was that. I think it's just better. So let me talk to you about realistic expectations, because nowadays I've gone back, you know, I'm not using these heavy cycles anymore. I'm not at my biggest ever anymore. Definitely not. I'm still bigger than and stronger than most people that go to the gym, any gym in the world that I go to. I'll be one of the strongest and biggest people there. But, you know, I've gone down to, for the last 2 years, mostly using between 200 to 600 milligrams of testosterone per week. I've added a little bit of something-somethings in here and there, you know, but nothing that is extreme and going to be, you know, going to be a thing like, oh, well, you know, Dan's not caring about his health. You know, he's doing this bodybuilding thing, and so, he's taking medicines that hurt him. I'm not doing that anymore. Because I did it and I had a lot of fun doing it. But I realized that I don't want to, you know, kill myself with bodybuilding. And, you know, you see all these people dying around you, you know, people, you know, bodybuilding influences and stuff, and you're like, well, you know, I don't want to be one of those. I mean, I almost was one of those. I almost was, you know, before everybody started dying, it almost was me with my leg thing in Colombia. So, you know, I've really had a lot of stuff to think about, man. I've really had a lot of stuff to think about. And so now, you know, what I want to talk to you about is realistic expectations. You know, you can do this thing like, you know, DG asked, let's talk pro cycles. And he talks about these big dosages. He's talking about grams. He's talking about high dosages. And then he says, you know, people need to realize that 2 grams per week is light steroid use for men. Well, for a competitor, it is. For a competitor, it is. And for a high level competitor, oh, it most certainly is. So that's the game that you're getting into when you do this, okay? And you should be aware, because a lot of people aren't aware. And I mean, even I wasn't aware, even though I did get in to the mega extreme steroid bodybuilding, you know? I got into that. And but people need to know, because you start on this path, and once you've invested a certain amount of time on that path, it's easier to say, well, I'm just going to keep going because this is what has to be done. Rather than once, if you haven't, you know, already gone down all that road yet, you know, you might, if you already knew what had to be done in order to, you know, accomplish your goal, you might change your goal and say, you know what? Since I had the full knowledge of what I was going to be getting myself into, you know, taking that kind of like, you know, really hurting myself with medicine that I'm taking, bodybuilding, you know, maybe if you would have had the full information about what that all was going to entail and, you know, the kind of dosages that you're going to need to take to, you know, compete and be a pro and everything, maybe you would have chosen a different division. Maybe you would have chosen a different, way of doing the bodybuilding or competing or whatever, you know, maybe you would have, just decided that, you know, the competing wasn't for you or whatever. But I really think that it's important that people just know the truth, man, so that people can make informed decisions when they're first starting the roids. Instead of this thing where it's like you get more information as you get more involved in it. It's like, okay, well, I'm already halfway down the damn rabbit hole, man. I can't stop now. And so I don't like that, like getting into it dishonestly. And then as you go on, finding out like, oh, I have to make more and more sacrifices on my health and my life and doing bad things that are going to hurt me. That, you know, my grandmother and my mom would be like, you know, very sad that, you know, I was doing that kind of behavior. I'm not talking about me personally, okay? I'm just talking, I'm imitating what a bodybuilder would have going through his mind, okay? When he was weighing out these things. So what I, you know, the most popular segment of people using steroids is the introductory steroid user who wants to do like 500 milligrams of testin and oral. That's the people who are like trying to learn about roids and gear and everything the most. And if I had to say, like, if you came to me and you said you were really dedicated and you're really into bodybuilding and you'd been doing bodybuilding for 5 years and you knew how to make your body weight go down and you knew how to make your body weight go up and you could do that at any time, you knew the techniques, you were really good at it, and you had basic threshold strength. Like you could bench 2 plates for reps. You could squat 3 plates for reps. You could deadlift 4 plates for reps. And then you were saying like, you know, bodybuilding is so important to me. You know, like I want to take steroids, but like, obviously, you know, your health is important to you and everything too. And, you found me and I'm somebody who's experienced. I'm someone who's been there, done that. And you said, if you were in my shoes, Dan, you know, what would you do? And this is what I'd say. I'd say, okay, so you see these really big guys over here? That's a That's a drug thing. Okay. that's what I'd say. Okay. So I would say, look, so when it's really big like that, man, that's a drug thing. But if you want to get like that type of body that is like really, really ripped up, really hard, you know, the normal people like to see it and they think like, wow, now that's an incredible body. This kind of look, where it's pleasing to the normal people, you can get that body on 500 testin and oral. Okay. So you can get that body on 500 testin and oral. It's possible and very possible. And this is what I would say, you know, I would say you can go down the path of chemical warfare and, you know, doing all the chemicals that you need to turn yourself into a prized bull or whatever, you know. And a lot of people are going to feel a need to do that. I certainly felt a need to do that. But it should be, you should have an idea if you're going to do it. This is another advice that I'd give to, or another thing that I'd say if somebody asked me, you know, what to do. And I was thinking, well, if I was in your shoes, there's got to be like a set starting and end point if you're going to do this with that extreme kind of bodybuilding medication use, deciding that you want to be a competitor, deciding that you want to be a pro, you know, because these things require hardcore use of medications in order to be able to compete and be competitive against others who are also doing the same thing. And so, you know, if it was me, you know, I would say, okay, well, there's going to be a 5-year span where I'm going to be doing this. Okay. And I've got to get everything that I'm going to get done with this hardcore bodybuilding use done in that 5 years. And then it's over. Okay. I'm pulling the plug and I'm not going to be doing the hardcore steroid use anymore. Okay. Because if I continue doing that, I've already seen what that does to you. Okay. I've already seen that. I've already seen all these guys. I've seen them all die. Okay. So there's going to have to be a limit. And, you know, normally the guys that are dying from the steroid use, it's not the guy who's been taking the steroids and abusing them as hard as he can for 5 years. It's not even the guy who's been doing it for 7 years. You know, it's the guys who have been doing it for around 10, 15, 20, 25 years. Once you hit one decade on steroids, that's that first marker where it's like, well, you better check yourself up, man, because you might have seriously damaged yourself. And then, you know, at that point, reevaluate. Okay, well, do I want to keep on using these? Do I want to tone down my usage? Do I want to take precautions to slow down what I'm doing? But really, what I believe is that the person going in to that hardcore bodybuilding should go in with a timer and say, I've got to get done in this amount of time what I've got to get done. And if I don't, it's over. I'm pulling the plug because I know and I have observed that you cannot stay on ridiculous, abusive doses of these medications over a long term, years and years and years. It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you too much, and it's going to take too much time off your life. So that would be what I would say if what I would do if I was in your shoes. And then what I would say for guys who are like, well, you know, actually, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get involved in that. You know, this because that's another thing is that you got to know that when you are doing like really hardcore bodybuilding, man, it's not like you take 2 shots a week, man. It's like you wake up, you take your shot of steroids, okay? And then you take your shot of growth hormone, and then you take your pills, and then you take your vitamins, and then you fucking, you know, might inject something else, some other like peptide or something, and take more tablets, and then you go to the gym, and then you get home and you inject more growth hormone, and you take insulin, and then you maybe inject some other peptide or something, and you take more tablets, and then you eat. Okay, so it's like when you're doing the hardcore bodybuilding thing, okay, where you're trying to get as big and as strong as you can, it is all day. It is all day, and you're doing this stuff, okay? Because you're turning yourself into a prized bull. Really, that's what you're doing. turning yourself into the prize bull who wins the fair. He's the biggest bull. Look, we shot him up with the most steroids, okay? That's like something that I always have to be, you know, careful with, though, okay? Because we all know from listening to the podcast right now that if you take, you can take as many steroids as you want. And if the training and the diet aren't the way they should be, well, as much steroids as you want are being taken, you will not make progress, okay? So this, when we talk about the prize bowl or whatever, it's just a given that he's has pro-level training and he has pro-level diet, okay? That's a given. And then once those givens are fulfilled, then yes, it is a how much can you shoot yourself up with, okay? As far as like a chemical warfare approach, there's no question that taking more steroids doesn't have a greater effect. If someone wants to look at the research, they can look at the research and they can see, yes, that's the case. That's the case. So again, you should, if you don't want to get involved in all that, if you don't want to get involved in all that crap, why don't, I was involved with it for a long time too, which was fun. okay. So if you don't want to get in, okay. If you don't want to get involved with all that, then I would say to the guy, look, if it was me, take 500 testosterone or 600 testosterone. And then these are the other things that could be acceptable, would be like HCG or Proviron. And you know, a couple IUs of growth hormone could also be acceptable. And honestly, even like 4 or 5 IUs of insulin or something post-workout could also be acceptable, okay? And then when you wanted to do like some like little extra like blasting stuff, you know, well, drop in Winstrol, drop in Anadrol, drop in Primobulin, okay? That's what I would say. And to drop these things in and to use them for 8 to 12 week cycles. And, you know, doing this, you know, maybe doing 2 of those cycles a year and going between 200 to 600 milligrams of testosterone per year, whatever, you can have that body that is that, you know, you can get it dieted down. You can get it super ripped. You can get super hard. You can get it looking real good. And especially if you have mass from you know, massive abuse of roids and everything. If you've got that mass and you've got that down on your body, you can maintain a lot of that on 200 to 600 milligrams of testosterone. And you know, yeah, it kind of wanes and then grows again and it goes into hibernation mode and comes out again, you know, but you can maintain a good quantity of muscle mass. Okay. That doesn't look the way it looks on drugs. It looks nothing the way that it looks on drugs. You just look big and muscular, but it doesn't look like, oh my God, like look at those drug muscles. It doesn't look like that anymore at all when you're not on those high doses or you're not on those anabolics. But the actual muscle tissue is still there in hibernation mode. And when you get back on the shit again, even low doses of the shit, like 50 milligrams Winstrol per day on your 600 milligrams of test, you can build up an incredible look. You can really build up an incredible look on that. And you know, bigger than most people are going to be, you know, other than bodybuilders, everyone's going to be like, you're too big. So you can do some pretty good stuff here is what I'm saying with the roids. You can get some pretty fucking amazing results and have that fucking awesome body, that admirable body. And you can do it without doing this thing where you see people on Instagram dying at 30, 35, 40, 45 years old. You can do it without that. Okay. Just keep in mind that it's not going to be the mass monster thing. Okay. If you want to do the mass monster thing, you want to be the biggest man on campus. You want to be Mr. Big. Yes. A lot of pharmacology is going to be involved. But if you just want to look fucking awesome and you want to look ripped, you want to look sleek, you want to look good, you want to have mass, but you don't need everybody to be saying, look, there's Mr. Drugs. There's Mr. Steroids. That guy looks like he's on steroids. You know, instead it's just like, okay, well, every muscle is showing. Every muscle is totally defined. Guy's ripped. Guy looks amazing. Wish I had a body like that. This kind of body, but he's no mass monster. But he's you know, he's good. He's strong. But, you know, he's not, you know, pushing four plates and shit like that, right? You know, pushing four plates on bench press. Okay, so he's not doing that. You know, not doing stuff like that. So this is what is achievable, okay? Not utilizing mass monster dosages, okay? And that's not a bad situation. That's a great situation. Like for me, I had my mass monster phase and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thoroughly was 100% dedicated to being as big and as strong as I could fucking be. Got up to 5'9", 265 pounds lean, which is fucking enormous. So I did that. And then, you know, once I started really getting a better, you know, with all my studying that I've done, you know, I've been studying steroids daily now for, it's been more than 15 years, guys. It's been more than 15 years that I've spent, you know, more than 1 hour per day, every day studying PEDs and stuff like that. So for me, it was 8 years where I was really blasting it hard and pretty indiscriminately. And I really felt that need to be to get as big as I possibly could and as strong as I could. And I really enjoyed it, had a ton of fun, and I didn't want anything else. And no, I wouldn't have been okay with just being like, well, I'm just going to be lean and ripped, with a nice muscle shape and, you know, decent full muscles, but, you know, not like any kind of like, you know, like really like, oh, that guy's fucking huge. You know, that wouldn't have been acceptable to me to not have that guy's fucking huge thing. So I had to do that. I felt I had to do that. But, and then, you know, once I, you know, really started, you know, learned all about, you know, all the health problems, what I was doing to me, got all my health checked, got all my organs checked, heart checked, everything and everything, you know, after having done all that drug abuse and everything, it just made me, I've thought I don't want to do this anymore, with the really indiscriminate, blasting. Because I could see that I was burning the candle on my life. I mean, it's not rocket science. It's not a mystery. It's just like, look, dude. And so I looked and I made a decision like, look, I had my time. And now I love bodybuilding. I love taking the testosterone, the hormones and everything. But I had my time doing this indiscriminate use of like, you know, go out in a blaze of glory, bitch. Okay. And that's over now, you know, because now, you know, I'm older and you can't do it forever. You cannot do it forever. So you've got to have a way to do that. So let me tell you, for the first 6 months of me not being on high doses anymore, man, that was psychologically distressing, okay? I was very psychologically distressed. And I would even like go into the gym sometimes and I'd like wear big clothing to like hide my body or something, even though I was still bigger than everyone. So, but I was distressed because I was like, I was like, you know, I don't look like I'm on drugs anymore. I still did, but in my mind I didn't, you know, it was very interesting experience to go from, you know, 8 years of, you know, really hard doing it to, you know, cooling it down. And that first 6 months mentally, that was really hard, like changing my self-image from being like, I'm huge, I'm a monster, everywhere I go, unless I'm with literal IFBB pro bodybuilders, I'm the biggest, strongest guy, or, you know, at least I can hang with the biggest, strongest guys. You know, I can be part of the group. I can be one of them and, you know, like that. Right. That's how it was like. And then you take away that heavy drug use, and you know, it's not like that anymore. Okay. And so that was very distressing and hard for me psychologically, because I had to, my image that I held in my mind of myself and who I am, and me being Mr. Huge, Mr. Bodybuilder, Mr. Guy, you know, with the outrageous, freaky, drugged out muscles. And now I'm not that anymore. Now I'm still big. I'm still big, you know, very, you know, bigger than almost everybody that goes to the gym still. And you know, after 2 years of not doing that, it's not the same. Yeah. It's not the same. And that's, when a lot of tied up about who you are, what you're doing. And, you know, if steroids are a big part of that, that's a hard situation, man, mentally getting through that, because, you know, you can kind of get into a place with bodybuilding where it's like, well, if you take your steroids away, it's like, what are you now? I didn't actually have that happen, because I've got other skills too. I've got a lot of skills actually, because I've spent my whole life gaining skills. That's how I've spent my time. So I didn't have like a total identity crisis or anything, but I definitely did have shakiness and like, oh, like, who am I? or I don't feel like myself, or I feel lost. I feel like I don't know who I am. I kind of had those feelings a little bit. Okay. I did not have those feelings at all. I definitely had those feelings at least a little bit. So there's that. But now, you know, after actually, it didn't take 2 years to get like this. Probably took like 1 year to get like this. Is where I'm very content with what I'm doing. I'm actually having a very, very fun time with my bodybuilding these days, because my knowledge is constantly growing, and what I'm interested in is constantly growing. Okay, so I'm having a really fun time these last 2 years, taking a little bit of hormones, taking a little bit of steroids. Like, again, I like to take hormones. I like to take steroids. I like to take testosterone. I do. It's one of the things, I really like that stuff. I like doing that. And so I've been doing that, okay? And if you recall from the beginning of your bodybuilding days, yes, it's fun to take 200 to 600 milligrams of testosterone. Yes, that makes it different than when you're natural, okay? And, you know, I've taken from time to time over that, I've taken low doses of Primobolan, Anavar, little bit of Winstrol, taking like 50 milligrams of Masteron twice a week, stuff like that, you know, like little bits of stuff that I've used here and there. And it's been fun. And you know what? I haven't been redlining my system. I haven't been moving myself towards death. Okay. From long-term decades, multiple decades long abuse of this stuff, which is how it goes. If you don't have an experience like I had, where you go like, okay, well, you know, I got to change something now. Like, you know, I had my time doing that. You can't just indefinitely take extreme dosages of steroids. It's not going to work. When you see these guys on the internet who had a bad time and now look what happened, you're looking at, you know, decades of mega abuse. And so if you don't have a time limit on it, you're going to be dealing with more situations like this, okay? Increasing the odds. And anyways, though, so my focus has changed. You know, there's different phases in bodybuilding, right? So now my focus is on all the different natural things that can be added to manipulate hormonal pathways, all the different vitamins and supplements, etc. And then what all the different steroids do, and all the very different tiny little bits of chemistry that make tiny little bit different
biological effects from tiny little changes in the chemistry of these chemicals, and really fully understanding exactly what is going on with the biology and exactly how to manipulate it like a fucking machine, and not doing this thing that's like, oh, well, you know, if you're not having the right results, just throw more at it. But actually being like, okay, well, we're not having the right results, and then knowing exactly what we can do to fix that, exactly what we can do to change that, the exact reason why, and the exact pathways, molecules, and everything that will be being added. So I've gotten a lot more scientific with what I'm doing, and I've had to be, because I don't have access. I'm not using these anabolics to make up for any shortcomings that I'm having. I'm still using a little bit, like I said, 200 to 600 milligrams of testosterone, and a little bit of some other stuff sometimes too. But I'm not using it as a crutch anymore. And not that I was using it as a crutch, but there's always some crutching with steroids. Like, people will say, you know, that there's always a little bit of crutching. Just to be 100% honest, that's the way it goes with steroids. They're used as a crutch a little bit. You want to minimize that as much as possible. And if you are not using them as a crutch at all, I mean, of course, that's where the best results come. That's not the case 100% of the time with, like, anybody, you know, like, never using it as a crutch. It sometimes, at least, pretty much everybody uses it as a crutch if they're using it. But anyways, yeah, had to do, you know, not having that has required me to learn so much more about all the different other little things. It's been great. I've enjoyed it so much, and I'm fully comfortable now not being a mass monster anymore. I feel good being, you know, before I was 5'9", 260. Now I'm 5'9", 205, 210, 215. Those are my normal weights that I kind of hover in those weights now. So, most people, most guys who are 6'3", 6'2", and kind of muscular are like 215, you know, pretty muscular or something like that, right? But I'm 5'9", and I'm still that big, okay? So by no means am I not bigger than almost everyone that goes to a gym, okay? Except for, like, you know, like pros and competitors and stuff. And that's after not being blasting for 2 years, okay? So it's a good thing for me to talk about my personal stuff sometimes. And then it's also a good thing for me to, like, talk about, like, your questions and shit sometimes too. For this one right here, this is a thing that I felt like you guys would benefit from hearing my insights on this. And then going, like, seeing as I have had so much experience in everything and have a lot of knowledge, obviously, on the way all this stuff works and the way that the health stuff works, the different damage the different stuff is doing to you, and the ways to combat that naturally and pharmaceutically, which pharmaceuticals can hurt you, which ones are dangerous, etc. You know, getting into the roids, going crazy on the roids, being moderate on the roids. You know, I've really gone full spectrum with the whole thing. And so I really am one of the best resources for you guys to talk to. For the guys that are experienced, for the guys that are competitors, for the guys that are just gym rats, but they're dead serious, and for the guys who have never done a cycle and they're just starting, I've got the experience. I will look over your program, and I will, you know, we can go through your whole program and just see what I think, because I'm someone who knows the big story about this, you know, the full story. Not just the, like, okay, well, here's the bodybuilding drugs and here's to get the bodybuilding drugs, right? It's like, I know the whole thing going on with the physiology behind the scenes, all the different meds, et cetera, the health, how to manipulate it, blood work, et cetera. So for you guys that are, you need somebody to look over your shit. You got your problem going, or you got your routine going, you're not 100% sure of it, you need someone to look over your shit. That is me. That is the 1 hour phone consultation with me. which is a very, very good thing to do. Cause I'm going to tell it to you straight. So let's get to another question now here. All right. So the next question is from Martin. He says, I heard you say in an episode, which I can't find again, that if you by some reason didn't produce enough tests during puberty, for example, for being way too overweight, doing tests like TRT could actually increase your wiener size. Yeah, if you didn't complete puberty, puberty could be completed by taking testosterone steroids. So here's an example. It's a guy that was listening to my podcast like 3 years ago or 2 years ago or something. He emailed me and sent his picture, and he was like 16 years old, but he looked like a boy who was like 8 years old, and he had a pituitary tumor that was making it so that he couldn't hit puberty. So he was still like a little boy, even though his age was high, which would be very distressing. And he was telling me that like it's his dream to be a bodybuilder or whatever. And when I was a little bit, it's tough sometimes reading some of this stuff, you got these guys, it's a really good guy, I really want to see this guy do good, really see a really pure desire there to, work on something and have some honest work done and get a result. And from a guy in a bad situation who's got a really good attitude. So anyways, I went to Thailand this past year. And because I've been living in South America and Eastern Europe and the Baltics mostly for the past couple of years. But I went to Thailand and, what do you know? I'm working out in the gym and this kid comes up to me and he says, hey, Dan, are you Dan the bodybuilder in Thailand? I'm like, yeah. He says, like, yeah, I emailed you a while ago. And I'm like, whoa, I remember you, man. And it was this kid with the pituitary gland tumor, man. But he had started taking testosterone during those 2 years while I was not there. And he fucking transformed, man. That was wild how much different this guy looked than from the pictures that he sent me. Because he went through puberty, self-induced puberty with testoviron. And that was just the most bizarre thing. He never had puberty. And then he got puberty by, doing testosterone cycles. He was on like 500 milligrams constantly. And so you think his wiener grew? Of course. So if you're in a situation that is the same as this guy, and you never finished puberty or you didn't start puberty or whatever, then yeah, it's going to do that. But if you already finished puberty and you had a full regular natural puberty, your dick is not going to grow, man. But on the other hand, if you do take like steroids and growth hormone for like 5 to 10 years, your dick will grow like 1/4 inch to like 1/2 inch in length. But I'm talking about like 5 to 10 years of hardcore use, okay? So it's like an incredibly inefficient way if you want to make your dick bigger, okay? It's like, wow, you just now took 5 years and you got 1/4 inch. Wow, that was a great use of your time and money and effort. I mean, you probably could have gotten that fucking same results stretching on it, pulling on it for 6 months or something, okay? Or hanging weights from it, man. if you want to do that, PE, male enhancement, steroids, is just, it's laughable. Okay. Next question. Running test E, trinase cycle. This is from John. And just finished some Anadrol. Now doing a small cut to see what the muscle looks like under the fat. Have some Anavar, UGL, hopefully Anavar. Was going to add 20 milligrams to finish blast and then cruise for a while. Listening to old podcast, he said Anavar doesn't do much at 20 milligrams, better at 40. Is it a waste? Should I save it until I get more and can run higher? Or with the trend, will it be enough to make some extra hardening and fullness? Okay, so if you're using Trenbolone, you will not even notice the Anavar. You won't know that it's in there. The Tremblin will just completely overshadow it. The only way that you'd be able to get a noticeable effect is if you did something like 500 test, 300 tren per week with 100 milligrams Anavar per day. So 700 milligrams Anavar per week. Then you'd feel something. Then there would be a difference, okay? But if you're taking doses like 40 milligrams of Anavar and you're taking tren, you're pretty much just throwing the money out the window. That's pretty much it. Of course, there's some chemical effects, biochemical effects inside your body, but in the grand scheme of things, is it changing the amount of weight that you have on the bar? Is it changing the amount of muscle tissue fiber that you have on your body? No. And can you even consciously like detect that you're on it? No. Okay, it's going to be overshadowed by the trend. All right, next question. Ricky, hey dude, just bought your ebook Ultimate Guide to Roids and am a longtime listener of the podcast. I've read your protocol on reducing gyno, as I've been told by the head judge of the IFBB that this will always get me marked down. Question I have is, how long do you think it would take to see results using letrozole and Novodex? Obviously, it can differ, but I'm not sure yet if it's prolactin gyno or test gyno. I've used both compounds in the past and did DECA only too. Okay, and so then he asks for advice. So what I do? Getting rid of gyno, if you already have it, doesn't work very good on cycle, but it works good off cycle. So if you cruise or you stop taking gear for a month, that is the time to get rid of your gyno. And what you don't want is on your cycle, you don't want your gyno to be hurting if you have gyno, okay? If it's hurting, that means the gyno is active and it can be, if you just leave it that way hurting, it can be growing more hard breast tissue. And the soft stuff is just fat, okay? So that goes away when you diet, but the hard stuff doesn't go away when you diet. And that is breast tissue, gynecomastia. So what I would do if I was in your shoes is I would wait till I was on a cruise or taking a month off or something. And then I would take, this isn't going to be very comfortable because you're going to have crashed estrogen, but you want to chemically get rid of your gyno. And this works, so I'm going to say it, okay? Exemestane, 25 milligrams every day. I'd take 60 milligrams of Novodex every day as well. And I'd also take cabergoline, 0.5 milligrams twice a week. And, you know, if that wasn't budging it after a few days, I might even take a little bit of letrozole on top of that, but that would probably really make me feel like shit. But it would shrink the gyno, the hard gyno. It would shrink it. It may not get rid of it if you've got a severe, or it, if it's moderate or something. I don't, but if it's very small and it's going to have a huge improvement from doing something like this. So that's how I would do it. The thing with on cycle, getting rid of it, it just won't shrink the same amount. It's like you'll have so much easier time shrinking that shit off cycle than you will on cycle. So that's why I say just control it from getting worse on cycle and wait for the off cycle, because then you can like actually attack it and it works to like attack it. Okay. Let's go to another question. Okay. Justin asks, hey Dan, just recently started watching your podcasts and oh man, are they informational. I've learned a great deal from listening to you. I bought your book and it is now my only source I will go to for information regarding performance enhancing Ds. I have a question. I just finished my first cycle of 500 milligrams test a week for 16 weeks. I didn't really put on much size, maybe just a little fuller. I know from your podcasts that this is expected.
I want to go for a second cycle once I get lean. This is what I'm thinking of running. 1 gram of Testosit per week, 20 milligrams D-ball every day for 8 to 10 weeks. Never experienced any estrogenic sides on 500 milligrams. I will have Aromacin on hand just in case. Do you think this is a cycle where I could expect to gain a considerable amount of size with the diet and training being what they're supposed to? Thank you. 1 gram of testosterone cypionate with 20 milligrams D-ball for 10 weeks. Yeah, I think you can gain a lot of size. So the D-ball goes with the meals, okay? So it's like, are your D-balls 5 milligrams or are they 10 milligrams? That D-ball should be taken breakfast, lunch, and dinner, okay? Because you do not grow muscle in the gym. So all you pre-workout, pre-workout oral guys, okay, there's an effect if you're doing the pre-workout protocol with like the insulin manipulation, like with the dextrose and everything. And then like, okay, now it makes sense to do, you know, the orals pre-workout. That makes it make sense. But if you're not doing that thing with like providing nutrition for the steroids to act on during the workout, but then taking the pre-workout steroids just don't really make sense. Because the only thing that steroids do is manipulate what happens to the food that you eat. Okay, so it changes where the food goes. Okay, and so when you don't have food in your stomach or you take steroids and you're on an empty stomach or something, like fast-acting steroids, like an oral steroid or something, it's sort of like just like, what the hell? Because there's nothing for the steroid to act on. Like you want the steroid level to go up with the food level so that the steroid can act on the food at max potency. So with a compound like D-ball that stays in your system for 3 to 4 hours, that's perfect because it's exactly the same amount of time that the food stays in your system. So you take the D-ball with the meal and the D-ball level goes up to maximally nutrient partition the food as the food levels go up. So you have a steroid level peaking and a food level peaking in your blood at the same time. So with the D-ball, it's meant to be taken breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And that's how I think it should be taken. It said you're going to use 1,000 milligrams of test. So that's good too. You know, you're going to be on the bodybuilding dosage of testosterone, you know, for looking like a bodybuilder, being a bodybuilder. I've said this a lot of times, is 1 gram of testosterone is a threshold dosage. And it's actually a healthy way to accomplish the goal. If you're going to be doing other things like keeping the test low and then using all these unhealthy anabolic steroids, which actually directly harm your health, whereas testosterone does not directly harm your health very much, if at all, it's arguable. But these other ones that you guys love to use instead of testosterone, where you're like, low test, high, blah, 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 and you want to use all this other stuff, this does directly hurt your health. So, you know, the people that are saying things like, you know, talking shit on 1 gram of test and being like, oh, you stupid, it's like, man, you guys do not know shit. Like, you guys are doing things so fucking amateur, you know? Like, your style of bodybuilding is so not professional. don't be hating on my 1 gram of test sipient of... Don't be hating on my 1 gram of testosterone scripture, okay? It's scripture. And my disciples, repeat the scripture after me. 1,000 milligrams of testosterone per week is necessary to be a bodybuilder. It is a minimum threshold dosage. Amen. Okay, next question. Okay, Anonymous asks, question for the podcast. What's up, Dan? Love the podcast. I finished every episode in 2 weeks at work. Okay, so that means you're listening to like 12 hours a day. My question is, what is an IU when referring to growth hormone? International unit. 1 IU of growth hormone is 0.333 milligrams, 1/3 of a milligram. Okay, and your next question is, how does it compare to milligram per Yeah, so one IU of growth hormone is 1/3 of a milligram. 1 milligram of growth hormone is 3.3 IUs of growth hormone. He says, I'm looking to add the HGH in the future, but I want to be as informed as possible. I know it's great for the bodybuilding lifestyle and to stay away from generic HGH. That's about as much as I know about HGH. And funny story, I always play, this is my curse, right before inject. It gets me hyped up. I'm getting your book soon. Thanks in advance, Dan. This is my curse, you know, the beginning of the podcast.
Welcome to the official steroids podcast with your host, Dan the Bodybuilder from Thailand.
Yeah! You know that thing? You know that thing with the, this is my curse? You know, I got the guitar thing, the heavy metal thing going on when the podcast starts. That's the song by Killswitch Engage. Looking forward to getting back another podcast with you guys soon, man. I love talking with you guys. I love the back and forth. Love having you podcast listeners, producing the content. And you know, I have a good time producing this stuff for you guys. I have a good time producing it, and I'm glad for the relationship that we can share.
All right. So that's going to be the last question for the podcast today. It was fun talking to you guys, and I'll be coming up with another episode for you guys real soon here. So make sure to go pick up
Ultimate Guide to Roids, 109-page ebook by Dan the Bodybuilder from Thailand.
You know, if you just go to bodybuilderinthailand.com, it's I think it's the first article on the homepage where you can check it out and read like 20 pages. It's definitely worth it. It's my best content. You know, if you like the podcast, the book will blow you away.